and you're listening to John Nicholson here on Talk Radio. Now, it's always a pleasure to have a successful author in the studio with me, and I'm delighted that my next guest is Janet Dean Knight. Janet earned her MA with distinction in creative writing from York St. John University in 2015, and her debut novel, The Peacemaker, was longlisted in the 2017 Dyslexia Novel Competition. It explores the parallel lives of a mother and daughter during the First and Second World Wars. Janet, a very good afternoon to you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, John.
It's an interesting subject that you're exploring, which is how different families over different generations,
yes,
can experience very similar relationships,
yes,
and have very much the same struggles in their lives. What,
yes,
made you focus on this mother-daughter relationship? It's not just mother-daughter, it's mother-daughter, daughter-father.
Yes, exactly. Well, this novel is actually based on my own family history. It's based on stories that my mother told me when I was growing up. And it's based on family history research that I did in order to write the book, where I discovered that some of the stories that I'd been told weren't all true.
Who would have thought? Family history.
Family secrets. So, and, you know, my mother's mother died when she was 18. So she always had this wonderfully fond recollection of her mother. My mother died when I was in my mid-20s. So mothers and daughters is a real strong theme for me. I was brought up with my mother's point of view, which was her mother was a saint, her father was the devil incarnate. And I knew my grandfather when I was young. So in this story, I did explore how women's lives tend to kind of mirror one another. And in my family history, I found quite a lot of examples going back of women having children out of marriage, you know, poverty, lots and lots of poverty in my family history.
And hidden poverty.
Hidden poverty, poverty that people didn't speak about, death of children that people didn't speak about. So these are the things that don't get carried on from generation to generation.
Of course, the internet makes it much more difficult to hide
all
this stuff. Because, you know,
there.
I mean, I always wondered, for example, why my deeply devout grandmother from the Outer Hebrides had no wedding photographs.
Well,
guess what? It's because she was heavily pregnant when she had my Uncle Bobby.
Of course.
And this is the Isle of Harris.
Absolutely.
My goodness.
I know,
it was extraordinary, and the internet allowed me to discover all that.
Absolutely. Well, I saw a pattern in my family, and lots of families will have found this, where, you know, lots of children, 10, 11, 12 children in a family, the youngest was actually the child of the oldest brought up within the family. And what I discovered in my family history research was that my mother's siblings, she had a twin sister, an older brother, and then two brothers, both of whom died as children. The first one died as a baby. And when I researched that child, I discovered that that child wasn't my grandfather's son, nor was it my grandmother's first husband's son. So something had happened
in between.
Well, exactly. We don't know. So that's why I made a fiction.
What drew you to this particular period? It's the interwar years, isn't it? And I think people don't realise the huge optimism that there was during much of this period, because they thought the carnage of the First World War was appalling, but it was the war to end all wars.
Exactly.
And there was going to be peace and stability.
Yeah. There are two things, really. One was that my parents were both born in 1920, just after the First World War. They were brought up by people who didn't want to talk about the First World War. So, as you say, they were optimistic about their future. I heard a radio program with Melvyn Bragg, actually, about that generation of, like my parents, who had a completely different view of a coming war, because the older generation just didn't want to see it again, whereas the younger generation, they'd not been through it. So they were perhaps a little bit more up for the idea in a way. But because my parents were in that group of people, this idea of things that happen before you're born, it's almost as if they've never happened. You know, can we learn from history, or do we have to go through that experience again? That's what I was really interested in exploring. You know, my kids, when I talk about my childhood and, you know, things that happened when I was young, it's as if I'm talking about ancient history. It doesn't seem like that.
That's
to
a
me.
Very good point. Do you think that there's less of a gulf between your generation and your mother's generation than, for example, between your generation and the following generation? Because I know that my mum often talks about this, and she says, you know, really, when I think about it, she said it's as if my parents' life and my grandparents' life, you know, Victorian lives were quite similar to mine, with my mother being born in the 1920s.
Yes.
And she said it seems so very different from your life.
Yes. I think there's a real kind of almost a post-war watershed, isn't there, really? And before that, people's lives were simple. They perhaps didn't move very far. They lived a very similar life. In my family, you know, manual work, mining, farming, that kind of thing. Post-war, I mean, education changed our lives. You know, I grew up, my dad was a coal miner, my mum a factory worker. I went to grammar school, I went to university. My kids have gone to university. And also, I would say, television communications is transformed.
Absolutely.
It's made us a global society, which I think previously our mothers and fathers' generation, our grandparents' generation, they didn't have that everyday
Which is so tragic. You think of all these clever people trapped in these menial jobs. My grandmother left school at 12.
Yes.
And my mum left school at 14. Her father was killed in the Clydeside Blitz, and she wanted to go to university.
Yes.
But she had to look after her wee brother and sister in a room and kitchen in Scotstoun.
Exactly.
And I'm the first generation to go to university.
Absolutely.
And it's transformed my prospects.
Absolutely.
And you know, the old Neil Kinnock line, is it because, you know, I'm the brightest of 100 generations? No, it's because I had the opportunity and they didn't.
Absolutely, they didn't. Absolutely. My dad actually passed his 11 plus in the 30s, but then they had a means test that you had to prove you could afford the uniform. They couldn't afford the uniform, so he didn't go, you know.
My dad collected bottles to buy the books. Because he got a scholarship, but he couldn't. They didn't give you the books free, and they didn't give you. So you know, it was the days when you could get lemonade bottles and just collect them and you take
them
back.
Those days will come back, John. They'll come back.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and your book, of course, is out now.
It's out
and
now.
Available. The Peacemaker.
Yes.
It's called by Janet Dean Knight.
Yes.
Fascinating subject, and very good luck with it. Thank you for joining
me, John. Thank you.
You are listening to John Nicholson, and this is Talk Radio.